Well, I feel like the Lord's been talking to me some this week about His creation and how the Lord, you know, everything the Lord created, He looked at it and He said it was good. And in the first chapter of Genesis, the first verse, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." And you know, it goes on to tell about all the things God created. And then it says at the end of that time that in the New Testament, we talk about how God rested from His works. And we see how that, when He had created and He had finished His work of creation, He rested. But you know, God saw the fall of man, and He saw your plight and my plight, and He began to create again. I want to just think a little bit this morning about the new man that He created. You know, it says in John 1:3 that all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. You know, this morning, everything that has been made, God made it. And we find that He made man in His own image, the Bible says. And He made man like Himself. And I want to look a little bit this morning about that image that God made man into and how man fell from that. And by sin and disobedience, we fell from that place. We needed a Savior. We needed somehow to regain our footing. And the Lord had to create again. You know, in Ephesians 4:24, just want to read a few little simple scriptures here this morning. It says, "And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." You know, we look back and we see God's creation, and it says the new man is created in righteousness and true holiness. Not just a form of offering up animals and constantly coming back, whereunto the Bible says the comers thereunto could never be perfect. Could never be really cleansed from their sin and changed and made new creatures in Christ. But you know, the Lord saw our plight. And I want to think this morning a little bit about what it means to be a new man. You know, David, like so many of us, felt the pain of sin. And he said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." That's in Psalms 51:10. Is it possible for God to create in us a clean heart? Is it possible after the fall and after the stain and after the sin? Is it possible for God to create in us a clean heart? One that glorifies God? One that follows the things of God? A humble heart? A pure heart? Is it possible? And yet we see David, he said, this is 51:10 of Psalm, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." You know, David had a hold of something there, didn't he? He knew that if God would do a work in him, he could do a work in others. And so he reached out to God and began to call upon him, because David was a man in great trouble. And he said, "Lord, create in me. Create. Please don't stop your creation now. But you know, David never really enjoyed what you and I have to enjoy today. And I want to think about this morning a few verses that speaks of a new man and something different and something in our lives that has value and that has an image likened to the image of God in righteousness and true holiness. If I, you know, I've heard people say as if, at least one or more persons, as if we looked like God in our physical. You know, for myself, I can't imagine God looking like this. I just think that He is in righteousness and true holiness, and He wants to create our image, our life into His image. And He wants our life to look like Him in righteousness and true holiness, real from the heart, something that means something in a dark world, something that we find is new. It's not like the old. It's not like the treacherous wickedness and the deceitfulness and the pride and all the things of the old man. But it's a new man created in righteousness and true holiness. And so I want to look at some scriptures and just kind of stay for a while in Colossians, the third chapter. To me, Colossians 3 is one of the most blessed chapters in the Bible. It gives, for our lives, it gives the elements of life that will bless our lives. You know, if we'll take Colossians 3 and humble ourselves before it and ask God to create that within us, you know, I think we'll have the best life has to offer this morning. I want to start in Colossians 3:10, and then I don't think we'll probably get done here today, but I'm thinking about seeking after some things that God wants to put in our life that's new. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to people, to all. It says in verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Now this new man is renewed in knowledge. It's changed. It's given a new face. It's given a new heart. It's given a new being. And He says here that we've put on the new man. And it just follows a bunch of scriptures that tells us what the old man is like. He says, don't lie to one another. He says, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds and all of those things. You know, that was the old man. We don't, any of us here, have anything to boast about over anyone else. We all had the old man, didn't we? We all came from the old man, and God has to create in us a new man. He has to create in us a heart of righteousness and true holiness this morning. And so let's look. Read maybe down through 16 here for this moment. So we put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision. Folks, there isn't any prejudice in this. We're all the same in God's sight. Every one of us. There is no people that we can look down on and say you're less than, you're inferior, or, you know, because of the way you were raised or anything else. Folks, it's for everybody. Man, woman, child, everybody. It doesn't leave anybody out. And it says here, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free. But Christ is in all and in all. You know, the Lord wants to do that this morning. He wants to set every one of His children completely free from any other bond. He wants to set us completely free from any other prejudice. The Lord wants His people to realize that His love reaches everyone. And if that new man is created in us, He wants us to reach everyone we can, that there be nobody that we view that they shouldn't have the same opportunity that we should have this morning. Even if we're raised hearing truth every day of our life, You know, there's people that aren't, and they're just as worthy as we are to hear this gospel. And the Lord help us to be able to have the new man that sees the world as nothing more than a mission field, not as a despicable, hated situation, but all those in the world, all those that are different, all those that have special needs. You know, God sees them. They're just sinners, just like we were. They just need the blood of Jesus to clean them up. And the Lord wants us to reach out to everyone that we can to give His love to them, to help them that there be no prejudice whatsoever in dealing and doling out the love of God in this life. You know, we look on and it goes here, says, put on, therefore. In other words, put your clothes on. Put on as the new man. Clothe yourself, it says, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Bowels of mercies. Put on bowels of mercies. You know, I was just thinking about this and thinking about what the word mercies meant. And what the Bible has to say about mercy. Do you know, we could have a whole lesson here this morning on what the Lord says about mercy. You know, it says one place, I believe it is, doesn't it say something about mercy and truth have kissed or something to that effect? Mercy and, or how does it say that? But you know, I want to look at just a few verses here in Matthew 5 and 7. It says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You know, have you ever obtained mercy? Something you didn't deserve? Somebody cut you some slack when you really didn't deserve it? I have. It's nice when that happens. Sometimes we need mercy, don't we? You know what the Bible says here? What the Word of God has told us? Jesus left this for us. He said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You know, this morning, this is the new man. Do you know that in the last days, people are going to be implacable, the Bible says, untouchable. Their lives are going to be full of all kinds of hatred and malice and all of those things. But the Lord tells us, He says, be merciful. This is the new man. Be merciful to one another. Be merciful to people when you meet them. In Psalms 37 and 25, it's another scripture about mercy. And it says here, though I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. You know, it's saying there that I haven't seen the righteous. I haven't seen people that have these qualities, that has the Lord's qualities in their life, that has the Lord with them. I've never seen them forsaken, this writer is telling us. And he says here, this person is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. That's the work of righteousness. His seed is blessed. Those coming behind him are blessed. You know, this morning, mercy is something that if we're a new man, the Lord wants us to ever be merciful. People come to us. How often have you had people come wanting something? Maybe it's a little time. Maybe it's an ear. Maybe it's just a break away from our friends and go talk to them a little bit. Maybe they need a few dollars to pay the bills. Maybe they need other things. Maybe they just need some slack cut because they don't deserve what they're asking for. You know what it talks about, the new man, the righteousness? He's ever merciful. And it says he lendeth. And Jesus said, lend hoping for nothing in return. You know, I know the people of God are like this. I've known you all a long time. I love that quality of mercy to people. I want to look at Romans 1 and 28 and see what we're contrasting this new life to. And see what we're contrasting the things that we're reading about and that the Word of God is challenging us to. When we read in Romans 1 and 28 to 32, it says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. You know, we live in that time today. And we see these things on every hand. And folks, there needs to be a stark contrast to what we see all around us. Everywhere around us, we see these very things in full-fledged supply all around. It says, God gave them over because they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. He gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit. Do we not see all of these things all around us all the time? We see them, do we not? But do you know what God is looking for today? He has created a new man. And He wants us to know who we are. He wants us to know what we are supposed to be like. He wants us to follow after those things and give ourselves to them and provide the world a stark contrast to what they're seeing. I believe it's the thing that it's one of the strong things that will give the world an insight into who God is. Somewhere there must be some people that come up and provide that kind of contrast. He says here, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers. You know, have you ever had somebody break a deal with you? They made a deal, and when they saw it wasn't going to work well for them, they broke it. They made a covenant with you. And then they said, I can't do this. I won't make as much as I ought to make, or whatever. Do you know God wants His people to provide a stark contrast to that? Our word ought to be something people can count on if we tell them that we will. The Lord wants us to do it. You know, without understanding, covenant breakers, when we live among this kind of thing like we do, it's easy to throw in the towel and say, there's no use trying. It's a dog-eat-dog world. You ever heard that term? That's the world we live in. But you know, the Lord wants to create in you and me something, a savor that the world has, that I believe we can take them. Saints, this is what God wants us to take to the world. This stark contrast that the things that are in the new man, that they see it all the time. Because a little folly with him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor, it's a bad thing. A fly, it's like a fly in the apothecary's art, it says. It makes it to stink. And so the Lord wants us to recognize who we are. We're the people of God. We're the new man. The Lord's changed to us. We're different than the world. We don't react like the world reacts. We understand where they are because some of us came from those places. But you know, this morning, I believe the Lord wants us to see that new man, and He wants us to allow Him to work His work of creation, creating those things in our hearts this morning. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So this morning, I'm just thinking about these little things. I feel like the Lord's give us a few things here this morning that He wants us to be like Him. He wants us to not be unmerciful, as we read. You know, the situations we come into, it's so easy if we're not careful to just take the way of the flesh. But the Lord really wants His people to humble themselves to His ways and to allow Him to create in us His thoughts and His ways through life. I thought about the king that he came to, he was beaten in one of the battles. And it says, this is 1 Kings 20, but it says, "We have heard that the kings of the house of Israel are merciful kings." You know, how'd they hear that? Because they had some influence from God. That's why they had the prophets to tell them God's words. And so they said, "We've heard that they're merciful. Let's apply to that mercy." You know, people, I believe today, they should know the people of God are merciful people. They're people full of kindness. I want to look on now in Colossians 3, because to me, if we can put these things, folks, in our lives and in our families and in our dealings with other people, they'll bless us and they'll bless them this morning. There isn't anything here that will hurt or harm. Okay? It says here, verse 12, "Put on, therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness." I want us to think a little bit about kindness this morning. I looked it up in Strong's, and it says usefulness. That is moral excellence in character or demeanor, gentleness, goodness, kindness. That's what that word means, that they translate it as kindness. The word kindness means, in Webster's, it says goodwill, benevolence. That temper or disposition which delights in contributing to the happiness of others. You know, that's who we're supposed to be this morning. That's the new man. And that's what the apostle here is telling us and writing to us. Now, put on the new man. Clothe yourself with these things. Put these clothes on you. Now, you used to wear the old clothes. You used to be the old man. People knew you for who you were. But now we've got something to show them. The Lord Jesus has created in our lives something different and new. And He says here to put on in our lives kindness. Put on that goodwill and benevolence toward other people. You know, people can see it in our demeanor and in our eye many times. Even if we're not able to do the things we would like to do, people understand many times the feeling that we have if we communicate a little bit toward those things. We do. We have a heart that reaches to people. It says, which delights in contributing to the happiness of others, which is exercised cheerfully in gratifying their wishes. Now, this would work pretty good in marriage, wouldn't it? This would work real good in marriage. The Bible says, put it on. Clothe yourself in it. Delight in which is exercised cheerfully in gratifying their wishes, supplying their wants of alleviating their distresses, benignity of nature, kindness ever accompanies love. Isn't that something this morning for us to wrap our arms around and say, Lord, now You've created in me a new man. Now I want it to be fully clothed. I want it to be clothed up nice. I want it to look just like You. I want it to be full of kindness. Teach me Your ways. Now, you know, how do we learn these ways? By humbling our heart. By kneeling before God and confessing to Him our need. Lord, I want to be this kind of man. Or woman. Or child. I want to be full of this kind of thing. And to me, this third chapter of Colossians and the fourth chapter of Ephesians, it gives us the recipe for life. If we'll live by these things, the Lord has given us here the recipe that makes life so blessed in so many ways. How can we argue with kindness? How can we say that there's something ill in that? How can we say that, well, I can't do that? It's part of the new man. Is there anybody our kindness should not go to? I don't believe there's anybody. Is there anybody that the Lord says, now, I don't want you to be kind to them because he didn't do that, did he? He died for everybody. His mercy extended to all of us. He died for us when we didn't deserve it. That was the grace of God. And he wants to create that kind of life in us and in our heart. And he wants us to be clothed with it. He wants it to be what people see, what they feel from coming from our life. Looking on down in Webster's a little more, it says act of goodwill, beneficence, any act of benevolence which promotes the happiness or welfare of others, charity, hospitality, attentions to the wants of others, and etc., are deemed acts of kindness or kindnesses. Isn't that, that's challenging, isn't it? The Lord to create within us, and I know the Lord has, in many, the Lord has done a great work. Let's just look at these things and realize this is the new man. I want to be that way through and out. I want him to teach me the areas that I thought were sacred. And the Lord says, no. No, you got to be kind there too. The Lord has to teach us things sometimes, doesn't he? We come into life with things preconceived in our heart and mind where we're thinking, you know, well, I have every right in the world to defend myself. And the Lord's saying, you know what? I want you to show kindness right there. I want you to be merciful in this situation. And it defies what we were taught when we were young sometimes, doesn't it? The Lord help us today to be full and to be fully clothed as the new man with all the fullness of that righteousness and true holiness that the Lord wants to create us in. Because we don't change all in a day. We don't know all of God's will in a day. Now, I believe in a day God changes our heart and takes the sin out. We change there. But you know what? From that time on, we learn his ways till we die. And we learn more and more of what he is like, what he wants to do in our lives. And he's looking for men and women to give their hearts to him and be changed from the old man, that we were, the old liar, the old deceitful person. You know, Jacob was a man that his name was changed, wasn't it? Because Jacob means deceiver. But you know, his name was changed to Israel, wasn't it? Wonderful change there that the Lord made for him. Now, let's look at Acts 28. And we'll just see here a little bit of what kindness is like. 28 and 2 of Acts. It says, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. Now here was Paul shipwrecked and cast upon an island and they didn't even know where they were. You know, we receive people like that sometimes, don't we? They don't know where they are in life. But it says here, the barbarous people. These are people of the world that knew nothing of Christ. It says, they showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And you know, they took care of those prisoners. They took care of those people. They didn't deserve any of it. But they did because they wanted to show kindness. Thank the Lord for that this morning. Let it be so in our life. And you know, in 2 Peter 1 and 7, it gives us a little more push on this thing. It says here, and to godliness. Now, Peter is telling us what to add to our faith. Now, when we first get saved, We just have what we just got. And that's salvation and faith and that little bit. But he says, now I want you to add some things. And he says in verse 7, to godliness, he wants us to add brotherly kindness. You know, that's that disposition which delights in contributing to the happiness of others. That's what he says, now you as brethren, add this to your relationship with one another. Brotherly kindness. To your brothers and sisters, add this thing. Now, do they always deserve it? We live pretty close, don't we? And sometimes maybe step on each other's toes a little bit. But you know, that's the difference between the people of God and the people of the world. The world gets angry. They separate themselves over it. And the people of God forgive. And they show kindness and mercy and love. That's who we are, folks. That's who we are, the new man. Put it on. Clothe ourselves with it. Clothe ourselves with contributing to the kindness of one another, to the happiness of one another. Goodwill and benevolence this morning. You know, I believe the Lord just wants this new man to delight in making others happy this morning. It goes on to say, humbleness of mind. And you know, I looked in Strong's and it says, humiliation of mind, that is modesty. Humbleness of mind, humility of mind, lowliness of mind. Do you know, we don't any of us have anything over anybody else. Except for the mercy of God, we would have been born out there too. We might have been born in Iran or Iraq or somewhere over in that area. You know, and never heard the name of Jesus. But because of the mercy and grace of God, He has saved us. We don't have anything to boast about. I want to look at Romans 12. I heard Sister Angela preach a message on this one time. I never forgot this. Because the way it was brought out just made this so understandable. But it says here, Romans 12 and 3, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. You know, when we think soberly, when we think as it really is, we realize God just gave to each one of us whatever we stood in need of. He gave to each one of us varying gifts and different things. But you know, it's not because we were some special person, but it's because of His special grace. And so it says here, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. I just, when I think of that, members one of another, I always think of the braiding, the interweaving of cloth, or of, they used to make lawn chairs that had these little straps about 2 inches wide, and they wove in between each other. And you sat down on one and it pulled on all of them. And that's the way it is today. He says here, we're all just members one of another. You know, the Lord didn't necessarily even call to certain positions or places the most spiritual one. There may be some little old sister that's closer to God than anybody. But because of their prayers, the Lord is doing some special work sometimes. I believe that this morning. We all must live spiritual lives. But you know, we can get as close to the Lord as we want to. As we can long for Him, and He will just draw us closer and closer in our relationship with Him. This is the new man. This is the new man that no longer delights, and I want to study that maybe tonight, maybe another time, I don't know when, maybe next Sunday. But, you know, I want to think about, he said, if you then be risen with Christ, the first part of it, seek those things which are above. See, these are things the Lord wants to give us. and wants to bless us with. Okay, let's look on. To godliness, brotherly kindness. I wanted to read a scripture in Ephesians before we go on. Ephesians 2 and 10. And listen to this. It says here, for we are His workmanship. Created. We are His workmanship. Created. He created us. He did a new creation. He came out of His time of rest. He created in us, if you want to say it that way. He created in us, in Christ, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You know, this morning, the Lord wants to work in us and create in us a life that is full of good works. And it brings peace. It brings happiness. It brings joy to lives and homes. These things bring joy. The things of God does. And He wants us to envelop ourselves in it. Wrap our arms around it. Put it on us. Put it in us. Ask God to put it in us. Get close to the Lord. Seek those things which are above, not those things which are upon the earth. You know, when we allow ourselves, our hearts, to go after frivolous things that God tells us, don't set your heart on those things, then we miss these things that He's telling us to seek. And our life instead becomes full of frustrations and hindrances and those kind of things. And the Lord is telling us, I want you to seek after these things. I want you to have the new man. I want you to know who the new man is and put it on. And develop it. Work at it. We have to learn how to show kindness. Because one thing I learned a long time ago, or some time ago, people don't know always what's in your mind. Sometimes they can read your face. Sometimes they can't. So it takes work for us to learn how to put these things into our life where people can understand who we are. It's something we work at. It's something that we allow God to work in our life. It's His workmanship. It's the things He wants to put in our life today. I want to look over in Isaiah 66 and 2 before we get away from the thought of humbling ourselves. Starting at verse 1, it says, for thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things has my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor, and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Folks, that trembling at the word of the Lord is an important part of the grace of God. And when we humble ourselves before Him without any excuses, without any reasonings, without any blame, without any holding back, but we truly humble ourselves before God, do you know He said He would look to that man? You and I have a lot of needs in life. We have a lot of need of God's help. We need Him every day. We don't know what way to take many times. We have two roads. They divide. Lord, which way is it? I just want to do Your way. And it's not evident at the moment which way it is. Don't we need the Lord this morning? And we humble ourselves before Him and we tell Him that. It's okay to tell Him that. And then He wants to lead us. He wants to guide us. He wants to teach us His ways. I want to look again in Colossians, the third chapter. And look at the word meekness. And we probably won't get any farther than this, so we had more. It says, to put these things on, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, and meekness. You know, I think that one of the greatest things in life that we can have is if we can understand what meekness is and put it into our life and allow God to create that thing in our life like it ought to be. Because in our own mind, we don't even understand meekness, I believe. Meekness is something the Lord wants to put into His people. He wants it to be what people bump up against. And sometimes we have to say, whoa, I'm sorry. That wasn't as meek as it should have been there. Sometimes the Lord has to help us, doesn't He? And so we look at the Strong's definition. It says gentleness. By implication, humility or meekness. Webster says of meekness, softness of temper, mildness, gentleness, forbearance under injuries and provocations. Now, is it true that God wants to put that in all of us? Or are some of us just born in such a way that we're just not that kind of person? We just are not forbearing under injuries. When somebody injures us, we lash back. Is that what God wants it to be? Or can we humble ourselves before God and say, Lord, this is what You said the new man is. Now, Lord, create in me Your image. You know, the Lord wants to give us a softness of temper and a mildness that when people try to injure us, it doesn't do that. I want to think about a few scriptures. I'm not going to turn to them. I'll just say where they are. Matthew 5:5. It says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, I believe what that's talking about is, as the Old Testament children of Israel, the land of Canaan, God's promised a land. They had that. I believe this is what this is talking about. They're going to inherit the promises of God. They're going to inherit the promised land that God promised His people. And so the Lord has a lot there for us to inherit. And He says that they, the meek, are going to inherit that land. You know, in Psalms 25:9, it says, the Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth down the wicked to the ground. Now, you know, what is it, the meek, that the Lord is going to lift up? You know, when we're mild, when we can hear, when people can speak to us and we don't lash back, do you know what can happen then? He can guide us in His way. He can guide us in judgment because we can be talked to. The Lord can't talk to us many times if we're not meek. If we have a resistance, if automatically something comes up we don't like and our hands come up like this, that's as far as the Lord can go. He can't get any deeper unless we let Him go. Now, He'll work at it. He'll bring us into circumstances to humble our hearts. But, you know, we have to allow God to work in us. We have to allow others to speak to us. It says the meek He will guide in judgment. And I believe that many times it is through other people that He guides us in judgment. Many times my wife has had to say, you're wrong. You know, sometimes I've had to admit, yes, I'm wrong. I thought I was right, but I'm wrong. Do you know, if we cannot be talked to like that, we cannot be guided in judgment. We cannot be told some things that we need to hear. We cannot change ourselves if we cannot hear the changes we need to make. And so we look to the Lord and we ask Him to make us in this image of Himself. Make us in the image that He wants us to be. In the image of Jesus Christ. He was the meekest. He was the very epitome of meekness. They smote Him. He had every reason in the flesh to at least say something back. He had every reason to fight back. And it says, Jesus Himself said He could have called 12 legions of angels. But He didn't do that, did He? He was a very meek man. Do you know, saints? You know, folks, all of us, God wants to, He wants this to be in our life. This is many times the thing, the very issue that heals our relationship. This is very many times the things that heals our needs in some way or another is the meekness that we have. And so that is why I believe the Lord said, the Lord lifteth up the meek. We look in Isaiah 61 and 1, and it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Isaiah 61 and 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. Now, why didn't He just say good tidings? He said, I'm sending the Spirit of the Lord on me, because He's anointed me to preach to the meek. That tells it all right there, doesn't it? To the meek, to those that have no resistance, to those that can be talked to and will listen. Folks, meekness doesn't come cheap. It comes on our knees. It comes by humbling ourselves to situations and finding the grace of God for it. Because sometimes we just don't want to do it. I'll just admit, there's been times that I have had to go and pray and pray. And you know what I found? If we will humble ourselves and begin to ask the Lord to help me instead of the one opposing me, you know He will. And He'll just take all of that out of our heart and make us able to love as if it never happened. The Lord can do those kind of miracles this morning. The meekness of the Lord. Oh, Lord, help us to wrap our arms around it. Help us to clothe ourselves with it. Help us to be this kind of person, because, see, this is what the blessings come to. This is the kind of person that the blessings come to this morning. There's a few other scriptures. I know our time's about up. But 2 Corinthians, well, 1 Peter 3 and 4, we know the Lord, Peter speaking here to the sisters, says, let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. Now, you know, that's what all of us ought to have, that, hadn't we? Sounds good. It's good for our lives, isn't it? Now, does this make somebody into a jellyfish? Not at all. It makes you into a person that can be reasoned with. Not everybody can be reasoned with in life. But this meekness will make us into somebody that can be reasoned with. People can talk to us, and we can learn from it. And that's God's way. The meek He will guide in judgment. We have to have it if we want the blessings of the Lord. The meek shall inherit the promises of God. They'll inherit the earth. They'll inherit the things God has promised unto His people. Oh, I look at this and I realize how important it is. Now, in 2 Corinthians 10 and 1, it says, now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold toward you. Well, we have his letter. How bold was he? He was very bold. He was straightforward, but he wasn't ugly. He didn't lack meekness in what he did. You could talk to him. It says here in Galatians 6 and 1, these are things, folks, that are part of the new man. They're part of what makes the image of God appear to the world. They're part of what the Lord is calling to the world away from all of this strife and ugliness. And sometimes I listen to the radio too, but I will tell you, it burns my ears. I can't hardly stand all the strife, all the partisanship, all the things going on. It hurts. Folks, the Lord would love to weld people together. He would love, and he said one time, he looked over Jerusalem and wept, and he said, how oft would I have gathered you, but you would not. Do you know the Lord is wanting to gather us today? He's wanting to bless, to restore homes, to restore lives, to make a new man out of what was old, what was deficient, what was a terrible curse in many ways, cursing homes with all kinds of things, and the Lord wants to make a new man out of us today. Oh, there's more scriptures we could go on. You know, in Galatians 6 and 1, it says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Do you know this morning, the Lord, in all of our dealings, the Lord wants us to be meek people. Moses was a meek man. He lost his cool a time or two, and he paid dearly for it, didn't he? It's something that we want to recognize, how God values this and how we want to have it in our life. With all lowliness and meekness, Ephesians 4 and 2. With long suffering, forbearing one another in love. 2 Timothy 2 and 25. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. That's the instruction God has given to us. And many times we deal with people that are opposing themselves. And the Lord says, I want you to be gentle. I want you to be soft. Be firm. Be true. Be right. Be honest. Be straightforward. Be kind. Be gentle. Be merciful. Put this on. Let it be part of who we are. James 3 and 13, I will tell you some of the scriptures. If we want scriptures that can change our lives and homes, read from James 3 and 13 to the end of that chapter. And you will find, maybe I'll just look at it here real quick. We find here a recipe that works, and oh, it works so well. It says here, "Who is a wise man? And endued with knowledge among you, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your heart," see how counter that is to meekness? See how opposite that goes to meekness? "If you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts," he says, "glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above," folks, this is one of my scriptures. I love this scripture. It challenges me. I go read it every little while. I want to know what it says. Lord, I want it in my life in full supply. He says, "The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, then gentle, and easy to be entreated or easy to talk to." It's easy to come up and talk to you about a real tough situation. He says that's the wisdom from above. That's the way a meek person operates. That's the way God wants us to operate this morning. Gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Oh, this morning, just want to encourage us all to recognize the Lord has created in us not some earthly image of God, but in righteousness and true holiness. And He wants us to seek after those things. He wants us to bind them into our life, change from year to year, And all through our life, until we see more as we get to the end of the way, the fruit is getting ripe. It's getting more ripe and more ripe as we go. The Lord bless us all this morning, and you pray for us too.